discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you once again. We are grateful. Speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm starting another series on the reality of permanent victory over Satan. You know, the last one we did was the reality of all debts paid and canceled, isn't it? So we are starting another one, or we are continuing with the reality of permanent victory over Satan. Yeah, I don't know, maybe you feel Satan still has power. That's why you couldn't really rejoice when I said permanent victory over Satan. But I'm sure by the end of this particular series, you would understand how much victory God has given to you and I through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you read in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus was talking to His disciples. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews, you know, the Jews were there, which believed on Him. In other words, those who had come and had decided that we like what we are doing. We want to follow you. He said to those, the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So the Lord is expecting us to continue in His word. Because of the power of His word and because of what His word does. Okay, there's an ability of the word to make you free. So He said it in the next verse. He says, and you shall know the truth. As you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As you continue in my word, as you keep reading, as you keep studying, what will happen is that you will encounter the truth. And as you encounter the truth will make you free. Are you seeing it? Yes. So every child of God must have it as part of his thoughts to continue in God's word. Every morning you have to get into the word. Try by the grace of God to get into the word every single day, because it is the word of God has an ability to liberate you. If you read in Colossians chapter 1 verse 6, look at Colossians 1 verse 6. Paul is talking about the gospel which we have received. If you read from verse 5, you see that he was talking about the gospel. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, this is verse 5, whereof ye heard from the before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So he's talking about the word of God, that is the gospel. Then he says that gospel or that word which came unto you, which has come unto you, as it is in the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the gospel of grace, the grace of God in truth. He says it brings forth fruit in you. The Amplified says it in a nicer way. He says, which has come unto you indeed in the whole world. That gospel is bearing fruit and is still growing by its own inherent power. So the word of God has its own inherent power. All you need to do is to make sure it is planted. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed that a man planted into the ground. And he went to sleep. But whilst he was asleep, the ear came up. The seed began to grow. So when you ensure that the word of God is sown into your heart, by listening to it, by reading it, you encounter revelation of God's word. You will meet the truth. You will encounter the truth. So Jesus told the disciples, listen, if you believe in me, then you must continue in my word. And as you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. You shall get to know the truth. Now, what is truth, or who is truth? Truth is actually a person. Okay? The word truth is reality. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So truth is actually a person. Who is that truth? Truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as you continue my word, you will actually get to know me more. As you get to know me, you will be made free. As you get to know me and get to know what I have gotten, what I have done for you, you will be made free.
Wow.
Are you seeing it? There are many truths in this world, but there's the truth. For instance, someone who, you could have a man who has it in his mind. This is the reality he's living by, that he cannot make it in life unless he goes to a juju man. Or he needs a certain type of help. And that's his reality. That is his reality. That is the truth he's living by. That it's so real to him, he can't think any other way. No matter the counsel you give to him, he just can't think any other way. What he needs is a higher truth. And the highest truth is Jesus. Truth concerning Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the real, he's the real deal. When you are in him and when you know him, you get to know what life is really about. And you get to know what everything is there for. Hallelujah. Someone who is addicted to drugs, you know, can be in the reality, in the truth. That's his reality, that without the drugs, he cannot enjoy life. You see? Yes. And no matter what you say, I had one guy asking me a question. What if I smoke the weed and I go and sleep in my room? Is it okay? I'm in my room. It's just me and my room. I don't do anything. I don't do any other thing. That's the reality. It's like, I can't be free from this. But Jesus makes you free. Yes, Jesus makes you free. Jesus makes you free. A knowledge of what he has done for you, okay, who he is and what he has accomplished for you, makes you free. It doesn't set you free. It makes you free. In other words, it sets you free and takes you out of the prison of other realities. Other realities are prisons. They are all prisons. They keep people in bondage. Yes. Jesus is the only one who can help you live the way God wants you to live and help you live free and make you truly free indeed. Someone can be living the reality of, I need to make money. And he will sacrifice everyone. He will sacrifice everyone, everything in order. I'm not talking about even blood sacrifice or anything. I'm talking about ignoring everyone, trampling on everyone, just so that he can have money. That's a reality. It's like money answereth all things. You know, that's a reality. He's stuck up in that reality. But Jesus will let you know that there are other things that are more important. Money is important, but you don't get money and destroy people's lives. Money is actually for people. You get the money, you make the money in order to be a blessing to others. Paul was reminded by Peter and the apostles that they should remember the poor. And Paul said, it was actually in part of my discussions. It was part of what I was thinking already. Paul had become so rich, they told him, remember the poor. And he said, oh, actually, it's one of my things. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. I was ready to do it. You see? So the reason for money is to help the poor. The reason for money is what? Is to help the poor. It's in Acts chapter 28, verse 33. Look at Acts 28, 33. And when Paul had gathered a bundle, Acts 20:33. Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Next verse. Then he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. You see, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. These are the words of Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God gives to you so that you can be a blessing to others. These hands of mine have taken care of my knees and the knees of those who are with me. I have taught you, I have labored. That's so laboring. You ought to support the weak. We are to support the weak. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
That's the reason. But someone who, in his mind, the reality he has is, I have to make money and buy the most expensive cars and put them in display in my house, in my garage, in my showroom, and showcase them every now and then on YouTube and let everybody know how rich I am. It's powerful. It's great. But that reality is not correct. Oh, you don't like my message. Should I go home? Should I go home or something? I shouldn't go home. Ah, okay. We labor so that we can support the weak. So wealth is a good thing. A Christian must walk in wealth. Why? So that he can have enough to be a blessing. The blessing of Abraham. God blessed Abraham for him to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. Start from where you are. Don't wait till you have $1 million. Start from where you are. Walk in the reality of Christ. You see, the more you get to know him, the more you get to know what life is really about. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He's the life. Every life outside of him doesn't really work. Someone is walking in the reality that my wife is not enough. Yes, my wife is not enough. I need to. How can a man stay with one person? No, men were not created to stay with. Look at the dogs around. Look at the cows around. Look at the sheep around. Look at the goats around. The guys, the boy goat and the boy cow, they don't stay with one female cow. They are distributors. Me too, I'm a distributor. So I'm a distribution company. Hey, do you like my message or don't like my message? But Jesus will tell you something else. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I want to show you a truth that will really make you free. Sometimes we don't know the truth, the reality concerning Satan.
Yeah.
And because we don't know the reality concerning Satan, we allow him and we give him so much power over our lives.
Yeah. True. It's true.
Down here in Africa or out here in Africa, you have a lot of Christians who give power to the devil.
Yeah.
Whole ministries are organized about the power of the devil.
Wow.
Whole ministries. We fear of the devil. Yeah. We have so much respect for the devil. Someone said, Obunsam Huodiu. Satan is really strong. Yes, that's the reality a lot of people are walking by. Satan is what? Really strong. Someone said, when Satan is holding something, you can't take it. Yes, they also say death. When death is holding something, you cannot take it. When death is holding something, you cannot take it from him. These are statements that are in our system. And we have a lot of respect for demons, for principalities, for powers, honorable demons.
Yeah.
We call them honorable.
Yeah.
Hey, so much respect. Because we don't know the reality of what Jesus has done concerning. He says, you shall know the truth. Remember, you shall what?
Know the truth.
You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus and his work is the truth. So you shall know what I have done concerning things, and that will make you free. You shall know what I've done concerning Satan, and that will make you free. Your freedom is in knowing what Jesus has done. Yes. Your freedom is in knowing what Jesus has done. Let me make some statements for you. I think you should write these things down. Hallelujah. Are you going to write it down? The only power that Satan has is the power of deception. The only power that Satan has is the power of deception. And the worst thing about deception is that you don't know you are being deceived. The only power that Satan has is the power of deception. And the worst thing about deception is that you don't know you are being deceived. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Full stop. Otherwise, it wouldn't be deception. The greatest power the devil has is what? Deception. And when you're being deceived, you don't even know that you're being deceived. Otherwise, it will not be deception. And the devil specializes in making sure that you are deceived. Into thinking that he's some great guy. He's a very powerful guy. A very influential guy. You're afraid to even pray against him to mention some things. Hey. Ambodin. You know Ambodin? We don't mention, we don't say names that we don't mention. Hey, Satan. Hey, Abon Sam. Hey. I don't want trouble. I also direct his attention towards me. Continue the statement. Once the truth is received, deception loses all its power. Once the truth is received, deception loses all its power. Once the truth is received, deception loses all its power. Therefore, Satan loses all his power when you know the truth. Once the truth is received, deception loses all its power. Therefore, Satan loses all his power when we know the truth. The power he has is deception. So when you know the truth, he loses his power over you. Hallelujah. The sad thing is that many people don't know about Satan's defeat. In fact, many Christians, don't write these ones. In fact, many Christians are the very instrument the devil is using to foster the deception that he is still a powerful foe. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
I said that many Christians are the very instrument the devil is using to foster the deception that he is still a powerful foe. Unfortunately, that's why I said many, many groups, churches are organized. Organized. I tell you, it's a whole organization to promote the deception. They don't know that it's actually a deception. You see, if you knew, then you would not walk in deception. But the honest truth is that they honestly don't know that they are being used to promote, as instruments to promote that deception, lies concerning things the devil doesn't really have. Spiritual warfare is one of the hottest topics of our time. Is it true? And it has been for many years. Spiritual warfare is a very hot topic. I mean, you don't even want to touch it. Like, you have to be quiet sometimes. But I want to try and explain things to you. You see, it's a warfare when you have two undefeated foes in the battle. It's a warfare. You go for war with someone you have not defeated. But when the person is defeated, the war is over. The war is over when the person is defeated. So we must know how defeated Satan is. The problem is that a lot of Christians don't know how defeated the devil is. They don't know the fact that Jesus has defeated Satan. And that's why I'm preaching this thing to you. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me show you some verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. I'm sure you are interested in verses. Can you kindly read this for me? This verse for me. One, two, go. Did you hear that? Let's read NLT. NLT. Maybe you are not seeing it. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh. Who is the Son?
Jesus.
Jesus also became flesh and blood because we are flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Okay? Continue. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death.
Wow.
So when he died, he broke the power of the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't believe it?
Yeah.
The King James says, the one who had, he destroyed. Jesus destroyed. Through his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus destroyed him. Jesus broke his power. Jesus took his power from him.
Yeah.
Jesus defeated him by his death. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus actually destroyed and defeated the devil. That the war was on the cross, and Jesus won the war over Satan. In Revelation 1:18, look at Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. You must know the truth. It will make you free. Don't plan with the devil in mind. Yes. I am he that liveth and was dead. This is Jesus. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus is the one who has the keys of hell and death. The devil used to have it. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He used to have it. He had it. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. He had the power of death. That is the devil. Now Jesus Christ is the one who has the keys of hell and death. Not the devil. The devil cannot imprison you. The devil cannot kill you. He's able to kill you because you allow him. You give him that power through your fear and through your faith in his power. Meanwhile, he doesn't have any power. His power has been, he's been, that he might destroy him that had the power. Of the power he had has been destroyed. He's powerless. Yeah. On the cross of Christ. Listen, the cross is God's solution to all of man's issues. The cross. Do you have a cross in the church? We are supposed to put one here. What has happened to it? It's on us. It's coming to a cinema near. The cross. The cross. The cross. Are you in the church?
We are here.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. You see, remember, always remember this. I said something when I was talking about all debts paid and canceled. And I use these verses. Go to verse 13 so that we can understand it. There was a debt that man owed. What was the debt? The debt was the debt of sin. Okay? And the payment of sin, the way to pay back the debt is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
The wages of sin is death. The payment, the payment of sin is death. You can't change it. When someone sins, the way to pay back for the sin is to die. Blood must be shed. Do you see? Now, that payment was not a payment made to Satan. And I explained that in that particular one. Satan is not the one that was owed. In Matthew chapter 18 from verse 32, we see it. That the one who was who says, then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto, look at verse 31. Go up. 30. 29. 28. Go up, please. I think we missed it. 26. 20, 25. 24. Okay, 23. Yes, this is it. This is where it starts from. Okay? He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. The kingdom of heaven is actually things concerning the church. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. It is a king who takes care of his account of his servants. Next verse. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And I explained to you that the 10,000 talents, one talent you needed, how many years? 16 years to pay back one talent. You needed 16 years of work without eating or drinking. Okay? 16 years in order to be able to clear one talent. And the guy was owing 10,000 talents. That means that the guy needed how many years to clear it? 160,000 years. Yes, he was owing 10,000 talents. One talent, you need 16 years. 16 times 10,000. How much is it? It's 160,000, right? So he needed 160,000 years to be able to clear the debt. How are you going to clear it? And remember, since Adam till now, it's just about 6,000 years. It's some few years short of 6,000 years. Since Adam, from Jesus to now, it's about 2,000 years. Yes. From the time Egypt, Jacob and his people went into Egypt till Jesus. It's about 2,000 years. And from Adam to that time, it's another 2,000 years. So it's just been about 6,000 years. And this guy, so just imagine how many times you need to come and go and die and come and go and die and be working to pay. That's the debt that humanity owed. That's our debt. That's the debt humanity owed. Remember, I told you in that particular series that he was one of the cherubs. There were three of them. Now they are left with two. The cherubs are the ones who make sure that God's throne, what's God's throne? They protect God's throne. God's throne is made up of justice and judgment. So they enforce God's justice and enforce God's judgment. When someone does something against God's throne, they are cherubs that make sure that it is punished. Whoever did it is punished. No matter who the person is. So when Lucifer sinned, he was punished. When Adam sinned, Adam was also punished. Adam was, judged. No, you can't come close anymore. That's why when Adam partook of the fruit, he was taken out of the Garden of Eden. And when they took him out of the garden, that's his work that he was doing before. Do you see? And insists that people must be punished for their wrong. So he has done wrong, but he's the chief wrong maker. He's the originator of sin. He's the one sin came to. He's the first to sin in the whole of the universe. And so he has made himself lord over it. And he punishes all those who do something wrong. And we say that this guy deserves death because he stole from his mother's soup. I see what I'm talking about. This lady deserves to be stoned to death. She deserves to be punished. Why? She slept with someone who was not her husband. So he enforces his tool, and his document was the law. The law was his document. Do you get it? The law that God gave to man was the legal document that he was using to accuse man. You break the law, he will let you know that you are breaking the law. And he will let you know what you deserve. Death, condemnation, guilt, problems, sickness, disease. So he makes sure sickness and disease will come. Yeah. The Bible calls him our adversary. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Have you seen it? Whom resist thou steadfast in the faith? That's the next verse. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's called the adversary. Yeah. The word adversary is antidukos. It means someone who is against righteousness. The one who fights against righteousness. He challenges your righteousness, your right standing. Yes, he wants you to know that you are not correct. He's always saying things to let you know that you are not correct. He's the accuser. Are you in the church you have gone home? Yes. So that has been his role since. And like I told you, the document he had to say things against God's children was the law, because everybody has broken the law. So he had a right. But in Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus did something to the law. Go back. The law was the written document that was against us. The ordinances that was against us. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. It says that, let's read from verse 13, so it's easier. It's nice. These verses show you what Jesus has done. He says, and you and I, who were dead in sins and on the uncircumcision of our flesh, Jesus has quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Not some, he's forgiven us all our trespasses. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Then next verse says, how did he forgive us all our trespasses? He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, the graphe, the writing, the debt that we owed. It's like every debt you owe is written in a ledger. Yes, those days when you did something and you're put in prison, your charges were written and put on your prison door. Yes, it's the same word that is used here. The word for that is the same word, handwriting. The same word, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is actually the law. Jesus took the law and crucified it. Jesus fulfilled the law and abolished it. That's what he did. And the punishment that was were supposed to get, which was death, Jesus took it. So Jesus took the punishment, which is death, the judgment, which is death, and took the document that was written against us and nailed it to his cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. It was contrary to us. We couldn't keep it. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So he nailed all the things that were against you to his cross. And he paid every single thing that we owed. And that's what I preach in the other one. All debts paid and canceled. He took everything, paid everything, canceled everything. That is why Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, said, "It is finished." "It is finished" means fully paid. That's what it means. All debts fully paid. All debts fully paid, canceled. If you were a prisoner, you were supposed to be a prisoner, and someone went, decided to serve the prison sentence for you, and went into the prison, and serves all the sentence, if it was 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, it serves all the 20 years for you, and comes out of the prison, do you still have a consciousness that you're supposed to be in prison? No, your person has, he's done it already. He's finished everything. Everything is gone. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? So Jesus paid it all. He served our prison sentence and made us free. So the document that the devil used to accuse us, the document that the devil used as a means of putting sickness, diseases, poverty, problems, depression, and all those things on humanity has been resolved and nailed to the cross. So now he's a lawyer without a document. He doesn't have a constitution. He doesn't have any of those things. He doesn't have anything to accuse you with, because whatever he's going to accuse you with has been dealt with. And that was his power. The document was his power. That power has been removed. Now, after Jesus did that, look at what he did to him personally. So he took away the document he used to destroy, to accuse, and all of that, to bring depression, to put sicknesses, to put diseases, and all of those things, poverty and all this on humanity. Jesus removed it. After he had removed it, then he dealt with him. He dealt with him. How did he do with them? He says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." In what? It's actually the cross. Look at the Amplified. And any other version will tell you. So the cross is the place where the devil was dealt with. Amplified says, "God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us." He disarmed them. He's not trying to. God disarmed them. It's either you believe it or you don't believe it.
I believe it.
There are Christians who don't believe in the scriptures. They don't believe in the Bible. You'll see that the Bible has written this. God disarmed, not is disarming by your prayer or by your all nights or by your fasting or by your what? Your coming to church or by this or by that or by God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it. That is the cross. So in the cross, the devil was nailed to the cross. The devil is like a specimen. Okay, the Greek words that I use here is a specimen, show. Go to the King James. It means to display. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. The word show is to display. It's like, I don't know if you remember when we were in GS or secondary school, if you did science, you were told to catch a toad or a bug or something, and then you nail it to a wood. And then we do a surgery on it. Is it true? Do you remember? Okay. They were teaching us how to do surgeries. That's how the devil was nailed to the cross. The devil was helplessly nailed to the cross. That's what Jesus did to him. Jesus beat him. Not in hell, on the cross. There was no battle in hell, actually. The battle happened on the cross. And the guy was helpless. He was crucified. He was nailed. Okay. This is NLT. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. In this way, in taking away, in dealing with the things that was arranged against us, the law. In that way, so you don't, it's not separated from each other. By doing that, he disarmed them. Now they don't have anything to use against us. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So his victory over them was on the cross. Not beyond the cross, on the cross. There's no record anywhere in the Bible that shows that Jesus went to hell, went to fight the devil. There's no record anywhere. The only record we have, I've preached it to before. Yes, I'm correcting myself. There's no record. The record we have is in 2 Peter. Okay? Where Jesus went down to hell to preach the spirits that were in that place. Maybe next Sunday I'll talk about it. Okay? But this is what happened to him. He nailed him to the cross. He triumphed. He had the victory over him on the cross. On the cross. On the cross. On the cross. That's why the cross is a powerful thing. Yes. So if someone is nailed, a specimen, does the toad that you nailed to that particular experiment, a board in your class, do they have authority over you? Could they do anything about you? Who was the one operating on it? Was it not you? That's how you should see the devil. You should see the devil helpless. Because that's he's helpless. He can't do anything against you. He's powerless. He's powerless. He's helpless. I don't know if. Let me explain how, you know, these are all the, if you see that, look at the King James, all the words there are military words. And having spoiled, the word spoiled means to strip naked. Just imagine a chief or a king brought to Independence Square with everybody there. And then they strip him naked with everything on everything. Just try and imagine it. That was what happened to the devil. He was stripped naked. And having spot, that's what it means. He stripped him naked. Eh? And having spot, what? Message. Message version. Okay, let's see message version. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. This will happen. And you must see it as a child of God. You must know what has happened. If you don't know what has happened, if you don't know the truth, you will not be made free. You need to know the truth, what Jesus has done. So what they will strip the guy, they will strip the whoever, you know, in ancient Rome, when a general went for a war, he had to slaughter more than 5,000 and above was described as a slaughter. If you kill 5,000 and above, it is a slaughter. It's a great slaughter. That's the first qualification for it to be qualified as a slaughter. And hence deserve a match, a triumphal procession. There was a triumphal procession that was organized during those times. Do you see? For them to organize a triumphal procession for you, you must have a slaughter, which is 5,000 and above. Apart from that, you must have brought back some lands. You must get lands for Rome, new territories for Rome, in order to deserve a triumphal procession. Do you see? Huh? And when you get victory over the enemy, you bring the enemy back to Rome. You have to bring the enemy back to Rome, dead or alive. You have to bring that king back to Rome and come with the goodies, his throne, his gold, his jewelry, everything. Come with it back to Rome. Then they give you a procession. So you start from somewhere. It's like the principal street of the city. You start at the end, okay? You'll be the one who has had the victory will be sitting in a chariot with his family. We are the family of Jesus. Our place is in the chariot with him. His victory is our victory. All that he did to the devil, he did it because of us. He didn't need to do that. He did it because of you and I. So the general will be in his chariot with four horses that are pulling the chariot. And he's in the chariot with his family. In front of the chariot are priests with incense. And then in front of the priests are people with trumpets, blowing trumpets and announcing his arrival. Those are angels. Okay? In another spirit, what Jesus, in Jesus' terms, those are angels blowing the trumpets to let us know what has happened. And his messengers, who are to blow the trumpets. His messengers are you and I. We are to make everybody know what has happened in the spirit. This is what happened in the spirit. Now, the king who has been defeated is brought back. He's stripped naked. In front of everybody, he's stripped naked. They take all his swords, his spear, all the things he used to fight, and all the things he used to defend himself are taken from him. He doesn't, he's all those things are removed from him. After that, they cut off his thumb, his big thumb. Okay, what's it called? This thumb, right? Why did I say big thumb? Forgive. They cut off the right thumb and the left thumb. Then they cut off the big toe. What's it called? Big toe. That's why I said big thumb. They cut off the big toe on the left and on the right. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? They are doing that to prevent him from holding a sword ever in his life. So even if he should find a sword, he cannot hold it. If you lose your thumb, you are in trouble. You can't grasp anything. It's a very powerful member of your body, if you don't know. You may not be able to grab anything as you're supposed to. Well, he can't fight again. And they cut his big toes to prevent him from running away, prevent him from running or having a stand in battle. You can't stand well if those toes are taken away. I tell you. And this is exactly what happened to the devil in the spirit. The devil is thumbless. He's big toeless. He can't, there's no sword he can hold against you. There's no armory he can use against you. He can't stand in battle against you. He is a defeated foe. He's lost his place. He's lost his place. And then he's tied. The defeated foe is tied. It's either he's tied on the hands or on the legs. And he's dragged behind the chariot or he walks behind the chariot. That's what happens. And then they take him through, as he's going through the streets. Look at this. This is the message, eh? He says, he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So they were marched through the streets of the universe. Yeah. God saw it. Satan himself saw it. All the angels saw it. Everybody saw it. Everybody has seen it. You need to see it. Christians, a lot of Christians don't know this. They don't see it. We must see it. The preachers who were sent to bring us a message did not bring us the right message. They made us think that the devil has so much power. But the devil doesn't have any power. This is what has happened to him. He's been dragged in the streets. You see, and the triumphal procession was done for the citizens of Rome to know that enemy that was causing them trouble does not have any power anymore. Like when they mention his name, like, oh, who is that guy? That guy has lost his power to do anything. We saw him stripped. We saw him losing his power. We saw everything. So the Roman general needed to bring the enemy back. He needed to bring the, because if he doesn't bring the enemy back, the people will still have some fear when that guy's name is mentioned. When they mention, hey, is he still around? But when they all see what has happened to him, then they can have faith. They can know that, oh, that guy is nothing. So God wants us to see. This is a picture of a typical, this is a picture on, you can see it, of a procession, a triumphal procession in Rome. And people will be throwing tomatoes and rotten eggs and all of that against the guy. This is what Jesus did on the cross. This is what Jesus did. We have permanent, not temporal, permanent victory over Satan. Permanent. Anybody, it's permanent. It's permanent. It's permanent. See, so Galatians, look at Galatians 3, 1 and 2. Galatians 3, 1 and 2. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Go back, please. He says, that you see, this Galatian church, they were not there when Jesus was crucified. None of them were there. But Paul had so explained what the crucifixion did, like I'm explaining to you. He had so explained it to them, for them to understand to the point that Paul was saying that, listen, you guys had Christ's crucifixion evidently set forth before you. The word evidently set forth is like a signboard. What happened was put, he says, I preach so much. Do you have T for T? Translation for translators. You don't have it. Marley, do you have it? You have it. Okay. It would be nice to read what is there.
You fellow believers who live in Galatia are very foolish.
He was angry with them. He says, you guys are very foolish.
Someone must have put an evil spell on you. Did someone put an evil spell on you?
Just wondering.
I clearly explained to you what Jesus Christ accomplished.
I clearly explained to you what Jesus Christ accomplished.
Uh-huh. When he was crucified.
When he was crucified.
He died on the cross.
When he died on the cross. Paul so clearly explained to them that they had gotten to know it so much. It was like it was a signboard. Clearly for them what Jesus accomplished. Which includes victory over Satan. And those guys were moving away from... Look at the next verse. What's the next verse? Say this in the T4T.
So I want you to tell me one thing.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that it was because you obeyed the laws God gave Moses that you received the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
Do you not know that it was because when you heard the good message concerning Christ, you trusted in him?
Have you seen it? Yeah. He says, you guys trusted in what you heard concerning Jesus Christ. That is why you received the Holy Spirit. That's why you had all the things that came to you. Not because of the obeying the laws of Moses. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. So, our victory over Satan is a reality that has happened. We must evidently see, we must see it in the spirit. It has already happened. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Isn't it? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Then it says, behold, all things have become new. Behold means to see. You have to see what God has accomplished for you and I on the cross. Through Christ's death. We have to see it. We have to meditate on some of the things I'm telling you. It's very important. You must know how defeated the devil is. If you don't, you'll be surprised. All the devil is left with is tricks. Tell your neighbor, all the devil is left with are tricks. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Let's look at verse 11. No, go to verse... Yeah, it's fine. Verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Guess what? The word wiles is metodeia. Metodeia. That is deception, trickery. I don't know if you have, do you have whatever? You have it? Strong definition. I want you to read it so I see it. That's all he's left with. Tricks. Do you have it? Or you don't have it? Yes. So say it to me. What does it mean? Metodeia. Is it metodeia?
Yes, please.
Okay, what does it mean?
It means cunning arts.
Cunning arts. He's left with arts. He's an art student. Arts. I'm just joking. Cunning. Do you understand cunning? When we say someone is cunning, do you understand it? What does it mean to be cunning? Sly. Deception. Someone who is deceptive. Con artist. The guy has been pinned to the cross. He can't move. All he's left with are con things. Tricks. Uh-huh.
Deceit.
Crafts.
Trickery.
All he's left with are tricks. What we are to fight against are tricks. Tricks. He tricks you into thinking that he's powerful. Put on God, let's amplify. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be successful, you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. That's what he has. All he has now are strategies and deceits. Deceits. To deceive you to think that he's powerful. He will let you hear a message that says that he's a very powerful guy, so that you can be afraid of him, so that your fear of him will give him power over your life. There are people who have had demonic manifestations happening in their room. They have things cutting them and all of that. They have demons slapping them and all of that. It is happening just because they have given them power. What power is that? Fear. You agree that he's powerful. That is why he's powerful. If you don't agree that he's powerful, I know people who are not even Christians who don't think that the devil is anything and he can't do anything to them. He can't do anything. They don't believe that he can do anything to them. He can't do anything to them. Yeah. But a lot of Christians have been trained to think and know that the devil is very hell. This is demonic. Charlie, when is demonic? Yet the easiest thing is to cast out devils. I'll continue next Sunday. Thank God for what Jesus has done on the cross. Rise upon your feet and let's thank God. What a blessing. I have victory over Satan. Jesus' victory is my victory. I will never be defeated in my life. I will never be defeated in my life. Can you thank God for what he has done for you? Can you thank God for what he has done for you?
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.